Welcome to Path Talks. This is Lisa Thompson, Chief Operating Officer for Pathway Health, and I am your host for today's episode. Through this space, Pathway Health experts and our other industry leaders will have an opportunity to share valuable insights that are focused on enhancing knowledge, sharing resources, and inspiring healthcare leaders along their career journey. Joining us today is Colleen Toby, Director of Consulting Services, and Robin Davis, Director of Reimbursement and Regulatory Services for Pathway Health. Welcome, Colleen and Robin, to today's Path Talks.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right, and I want to welcome both of you because today our topic is something that is near and dear to me, and it's a topic for clinical and operational leaders. It is around that growing focus on value-based purchasing, or what's called value-based care, and what long-term care leaders need to know. Because you know what? As leaders, value-based purchasing is not new. However, it's growing in post-acute care. It's a formalized payment process that links really the provider's payments to improve performance by healthcare providers. And we know that value-based purchasing, it's a form that payment holds us as leaders and providers accountable for both the cost and quality of care that we provide. It attempts to reduce inappropriate care and to identify and reward for really high-performing organizations. Value-based purchasing will become a new payment in Medicare and will quickly move into Medicaid as we see it's going across in some states across the United States right now. It links an organization's data to quality and ultimate to how you receive reimbursement. As we know, value-based purchasing is really the overall goal is to improve value, quality, and outcomes for our overall population that we serve. We also know that the new skilled nursing facility value-based purchasing program, those measures take place and are in effect October of 2023, and that will determine the Medicare Part A rates that begin in October of 2025. So what that means is it starts always 2 years in advance. There's 2 years of gathering that information or your data before it impacts your reimbursement to your organization. So that's why this is a timely topic for us to talk about. It is important that administrators, director of nursing, finance team members, quality improvement leaders, MDS coordinators, operational leaders familiarize themselves with value-based purchasing, these new quality measures, and understanding how they will impact future reimbursement rates. It means that value-based purchasing is here to stay. It's going to continue to expand and grow in post-acute care. So this is a large topic, and I want to ask both you, Robin and Colleen, a few questions as we touch upon a high-level overview of value-based purchasing and what it is and how it really should be a priority for leaders, that there's many factors that are coming into play and impacting reimbursement and quality outcomes. So let's start first here, Colleen, with you, because Colleen, you and I have had a lot of conversation around value-based payment, value-based purchasing, or value-based care, basically one and the same. And that we both know it's here to stay and it's moving forward quickly, right, Colleen?
Correct. Value-based purchasing, of course, was the birth of it was with that Protecting Access to the Medicare Act of 2014. And at that time, Lisa, I believe we were visiting about it and I had no idea. I couldn't even understand how big this is going to be for our long-term care industry. As far as looking at where our leadership goes and what are some key areas within CMS that we should focus on is one that's near and dear to my heart is rehospitalization. And you made a very good point. Well, retrospective look back, what we're going to get paid for in 2026, we are measuring now. So we, as leaders within the industry, we need to keep abreast of all the changes related to the value-based purchasing or value-based care and understand how they interrelate based right currently on some claims-based measures. So again, Robin's going to discuss a little bit about what types of measures they are, but for the leadership within our post-acute care industry, we need to understand that this program is going to move forward. It's going to move forward very quickly. It is going to affect reimbursement, And if I understand some of the rumors in our within the organization, within CMS, they may actually apply all of these value-based purchasing measures to every single payer, including our state Medicaid reimbursement.
You're right, Colleen. I know you and I and Robin have talked about this topic, and it's such a broad-based topic, but it impacts so many areas of things that we do. And the information comes, the source from our MDS as well as our claims. And that information, that data that we're submitting on a weekly basis or a monthly basis to CMS. And you're absolutely right, Colleen. You know, what we're hearing in the profession, it's not only just for Medicare, but it's also being moved into paying for performance with Medicaid as well. It's looking at how do we provide care and how do we really prove that we are providing the best care possible. And it's all based upon our data. So, Robin, you know, I want to break this down just a little bit more. You know, Colleen just talked about a little high level of CMS and you know, where it started from, and it's linking our organization data to determine how we get paid. Ultimately, that's part of that value-based purchasing. But could you walk us through some key data points as well as available reports that a leader right now should focus on a monthly basis or even more often to make sure that their data accurately reflects their residents and understand how they will be reimbursed?
Sure, Lisa. You know, we've had that one measure for quite a while with SNF value-based purchasing, you know, the SNF all-cause readmission measure. But in 2021, the law was updated to where they can add up to 9 measures, and they're going to start coming at us very quickly. There's 8 that we know of at this time. We know that 3 that are coming fiscal year 2026, and we're already collecting this data, is the skilled nursing health, healthcare associated infections requiring hospitalization. That comes from your claims. We also have the total nurse staffing hours per resident day. This includes your RN, your LPN, and your nurse aide hours, and this comes from your PBJ data. And then also total nurse staff turnover, which also comes from your PBJ data. So then coming to us fiscal year 2027, we also have discharge to community, post-acute care measure for SNFs. We also have percent of residents experiencing one or more falls with major injury. That is MDS data. Discharge function score for your SNF. That is also MDS data. And then we also have number of hospitalizations per 1,000 long stay resident days, which is claims data. And then finally, in fiscal year 2028, we have the skilled nursing within stay potentially preventable readmission, which is actually going to replace the measure, the all-cause admission readmission measure that we've had for some time. And that is also based off of claims. So where do we start looking at this data? Well, one place is a lot of these new measures are either SNF QRP measures, their 5-star rating. So if you're paying attention to that data already, that would be very helpful. If you're not, you need to start looking at it. And then also, you know, there are SNF value-based purchasing reports that you can start familiarizing yourself with as well. And where are those found? Those are found in iKEYS. It used to be called KEYS. Now it's iKEYS. And there is actually a place that you can go in there and you can find your provider preview reports. There are 3 reports that CMS releases as far as value-based purchasing goes. The first one is your interim or your partial year workbook. That's usually released generally March. And, you know, this is less than a full year of data. So it's not final, but it gives you a place to start looking at your data and your information. And then there are full year workbooks. These are released usually in June and December. And this gives you final data. It also gives you baseline and performance period results. And then the last report in there is the performance score report. And this is released in August. And this includes your performance score, your SNF value-based purchasing program rank, and then your incentive payment multiplier impacting the upcoming payment year.
So that is a lot of information. You know, I think about it as a leader. You know, we have been going along with the all-cause readmission measure for quite some time here. And it's to both of you saying right now, it is happening and it's happening quickly. Value-based purchasing is here to stay. It's going to happen faster than we anticipated. And the data is being collected now, so we cannot wait. And both of you so far have said, leaders need to start now as we look from going to one measure to eight, potentially nine measures, and that our information or that data that's being collected is through our MDSs, our claims, or the UBO4s, as well as our PBJ information as well. So I have another question for both of you. As a leader, I mean, what should I do now to become more familiar with value-based purchasing? And also your thoughts on how I should prepare for these changes. And is it really just myself as the leader's responsibility? Colleen, can you start with me first?
When we speak about value-based purchasing, Robin mentioned that all-cause, all-condition readmission measure in and that's going to be actually changing to the preventable readmission related to disease processes. As far as nurse leaders, we need to prepare our staff to actually address some of these chronic conditions that may result in rehospitalization by either doing competencies or some type of skill level so they're able to assess that resident quickly and not end up into the ED or on an outpatient stay or back into the hospital, which is going to affect our overall value-based purchasing within our organization. In addition to this, as we become very familiar with these changes, I think leaders really need to keep abreast of this and either embed it into their QA&A process, take a look at it, maybe take one of those measures and do a performance improvement plan on it and involve not only just leadership, but the whole interdisciplinary team and, of course, the facility team as far as nurses and anyone providing direct care for our clients.
And Robin, any additional thoughts?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of this data that's going to be added in these measures are part of your SNF QRP program or your five-star rating program. Start looking at those. That's a good place to start. If you can get some of this data under control in those programs, then it should not be so hard to continue on as they continue to add measures within the value-based purchasing program.
So we look at all of this, and what both of you are saying is that as a leader and an operational leader, clinical leader, I've got to gather my information, those reports that Robin talked about and Colleen talked about, get a further understanding of these new quality measures and really how it's going to impact my organization, and then take that data and these reports and make sure that it's accurately reflecting my current resident population, as well as identify where those trends are so I can make improvements. Because we know that all of this comes together, all this information that's coming from all these different data sources through our MDS, through our claims, through PBJ, all that information is coming together and it's linking to how we are going to get paid. Paying really based upon that it's considered your data is equaling quality and quality outcomes. Whether we agree or disagree, it's here to stay and it's coming a lot faster. So I want to thank both of you for joining me today for your knowledge and your wonderful high-level insight on value-based purchasing. We could drive it down and go into each one of these quality measures and talk about that and give leadership keys and tips to help them as they prepare for this future. And we also know that value-based purchasing is here to stay. It's coming quicker. The information's being gathered already. So you cannot wait till the fiscal year comes, you know, when those new measures come out. You have to look at your information right now and prepare for the future. So again, thank you both for being with us today on this very important topic. And as we close out here today, Robin, do you have any suggestions on a national or industry-related resources that, you know, leaders can access to help them with understanding value-based purchasing and what they need to do and what they need to know?
Sure, Lisa. One thing I want to say is they should be looking at that iKeys website, making sure someone in your facility has access so you can pull these reports. And there are also training videos there on how to do those kind of things and manuals that you can find there to help you with these reports. And then also CMS has a value-based purchasing page that has a lot of information on these measures or links to the manuals that are associated with each of these measures. It gives you the performance period so you can see for each of these measures when they're going to start collecting this data and then when it goes into effect.
Thank you, Robin. And, you know, those are great suggestions for leaders to look at nationally and also working with their state organizations or their professional, you know, professional organizations to help them as well. And Colleen, I know that Pathway has a lot of resources and education available for leaders. Are there ones that you would recommend?
Well, absolutely. Pathway has a number of toolkits that are very applicable in relation to the quality measures of value-based purchasing and the QRP program, along with the five-star program. So our toolkits are very comprehensive. They're packed with information. They provide training videos to assist with training maybe some of your leadership team or working with individuals that within your organization that may not be very familiar with these programs. So I would suggest strongly to take a look at our toolkits and our Pathway store. In addition, Pathway Health also provides some excellent education on each of the topics related to value-based purchasing, rehospitalization measures, and of course, the Interact tools.
That's wonderful, Colleen. I can't thank you enough for bringing up all those different resources and educational opportunities that are available. So Colleen and Robin, as we wrap up our episode here today, if leaders would like to learn more information about this topic today or how to access some of these resources, how can they contact you, Colleen?
Yes, you can email me at Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N dot Tobe, T-O-E-B-E, at pathwayhealth.com.
And Robin?
My email is Robin, R-O-B-I-N dot Davis, D-A-V-I-S, at pathwayhealth.com.
So Colleen and Robin, I want to thank you both for joining us on today's episode of Path Talks. For all of our listeners out there, visit pathwayhealth.com to access valuable resources, educational opportunities, and more. Until next time, this is Lisa Thompson. Keep on your path to success.